welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson, as we bridge the gap from week two to week three in college football. The gentleman who joins me to help every week is Mr. Gary Danielson, the lead analyst from the SEC on CBS in the booth with Vern Lundquist. They will be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Auburn, and LSU. Really, really fascinating game. Gary gives his thoughts on that game as well as some takeaways from week two, particularly with Tennessee and South Carolina, Kentucky, looking ahead to Alabama, Ole Miss, as well as that LSU-Auburn SEC game of the week. All that and much more with Gary Danielson. And now, pleased to welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast, Mr. Gary Danielson. Gary, thank you once again for taking some time out of your day so that we can talk a little SEC football on the show. First of all, your just sort of instant reactions coming back from that Georgia-Vanderbilt game. What storyline stood out the most to you as you left Nashville and had it in the rearview mirror?
Good question. I see a football team at Georgia that has a lot of parts ready to go and with an ability to win a championship. But right now, the coaching staff is still trying to figure out what they've got at quarterback.
Right.
I think they feel comfortable that Grayson can manage the football teams and not get them beat. But I think that as they watch the game kind of unfold, the frustration started to spill over, not just to the fans. I mean, that always happens. You know, you go to social media or the blogs or even the sports writer. But you could even see it in some of his teammates. You know, there's a lot of receivers out there and players that are ready to make plays and have put in a lot of work. And when you're trying to manage a team, and, you know, I saw Malcolm Mitchell after the game say a few things like, hey, I'm just trying to help the team. I'm a good player. I've got one-on-one coverage. I can help the team.
Right.
Those things can creep into a football team. So Georgia has to watch that. Yes, they're effective running the ball, but you have to use the whole machine. And for them to win a championship, they're not going to beat the top teams in this league by trying to play defense with their quarterback number one. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, they've got some playmakers on defense, and they've really improved in their man coverage on the outside. Now, Vanderbilt got yards, but, you know, that was a lot of that was prevent defense at the end of the game, Georgia just trying to get out of there. So I think they've got a championship defense. We all know what their offense can do with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel being healthy.
Right.
I think they've got a lot of parts, but the last piece, obviously, is having confidence in the quarterback and when to do it. Vanderbilt's another story. You know, they're trying to break in and teach a quarterback in the SEC, and that's really difficult to do.
Yeah,
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No, certainly not. Last week we had some fun. We were taking a look at Texas A&M's defense and some of the steps forward that they had that we saw against Arizona State. I wanted to see, since we looked at Texas A&M getting John Chavis, LSU's season opener against McNeese State was rained out. But man, a pretty, in my opinion, Gary, a pretty strong performance from the Tigers going on the road in Starkville and showing up. First, what was your grade for LSU's defense in its first game without John Chavis, now with Kevin Steele in there as the defensive coordinator? And then also, what do you think about LSU in general, especially looking ahead to Auburn next week?
Well, I was pretty impressed with LSU, I have to say. You know, they, it's never easy to finish a game, you know, especially with a guy like Dak Prescott. Once you get ahead and the other team is willing to, you know, kind of let it fly and also willing to use fourth down, those games are always difficult to close out. But I thought LSU showed that they've got athletes all over the field. I think they've, you know, nicely fit into Kevin Steele's system. I think they've grown up a bit on the defensive end and tackles position. Beckwith is still a monster inside at middle linebacker, one of the best in the league. They've got now two corners on the outside and a third to come in and play the nickel. The safety position is well manned. And I thought, you know, they did a decent job with Brandon Harris. They wanted him to have success in the football game, but they didn't want him to get into a position where they could blow a game that they could win. I mean, they knew once they got to the second half they could win that game. So I think all in all, it was an excellent opening game, and now they can turn sights on a game they really want badly, and that's Auburn, the way they were, you know, embarrassed last year. So I think, you know, that was a tremendous game, an opening game, and they got everything they could get out of it.
Fascinating storylines just sort of around the program right now going into this LSU-Auburn game, which is the SEC Game of the Week, which
right.
You can find on CBS with Gary and Vern Lundquist on the call. I'm seeing a couple different stories here, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm seeing an Auburn defense that really is going to have its hands full with Leonard Fournette, and I'm seeing Jeremy Johnson, who has his own step forwards that Auburn fans would like to see him, a bounce back that they would like to see from him going up against this LSU defense, which, you know, still has some injuries in the secondary, but like you just said, played really, really well against Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a task for Auburn. You know, they're not hitting on all cylinders right now, and I think it really comes back with their inability to run the ball. I mean, right now they're ranked 11th in the SEC in yards per rush attempt. And, you know, Peyton Barber has done a very nice job for Auburn, but when you couple Peyton Barber with a quarterback in Jeremy Johnson who doesn't give you big plays, Auburn is really searching for how to produce big plays in the run game, because all of their passing game comes off of the run game. And I, you know, I don't know this. You're just asking my opinion. Watching Gus Malzahn and now two games, and I saw a bit of that Jacksonville State game. It appears to me that Gus, in the past, he's run this offense for many years, that he calls plays by instincts.
Right.
He's so used to running this offense for so long, it's just like running to him a triple option. When he sees an adjustment by the defense, he knows exactly where he wants to go. But I think when he looks at his game plan, he's kind of set aside maybe 20% of it that he says, I really can't use that with this group. You know, I can't. So I think it's almost as if Gus is trying to play a little bit left-handed here. He's trying to manufacture calls that are not coming to him immediately. And I think he's not quite in sync with what Jeremy produces. And frankly, Jeremy is not playing up to the level that he needs to play at quarterback, because he doesn't bring the option game. He doesn't bring the running game at quarterback. He needs to be that much better in the passing game to open everything else up. Now, they need Thomas and Robinson back healthy, but they it seems to me they've got more problems than that. They're just not producing enough big plays in the running game. That's been a staple for, you know, 3 out of the last 5 years in this offense when Gus has been involved in it. And it's not going to be easy against LSU. In fact, it's going to ratchet up another notch. I mean, two teams that I thought Auburn would put yardage up in the 500s, they put yardage in the 300s, and now they're going to face a better defense. So I think this is going to be a tussle for them, and Jeremy Johnson is going to have to pick it up and play a much better football game for Auburn to have a big chance in this game.
Yeah, and it was so interesting. I did get a chance to – I know it wasn't a pleasant watch, Gary. Don't worry
right.
if you only
no.
saw a little bit of it. But it kept ringing in my head your words from this very podcast a week before, that Gus Malzahn kind of has to go against the grain from
right.
what he wants to do because of Jeremy Johnson. And so it's gonna take a little time for those two, I think, to get on the same page. But unfortunately – here it is, the SEC season. You're going to have to figure it out on the fly, this LSU.
Well, the other problem is, you know, Jeremy Johnson, you know, he needs, you know, like, let's say he's like a Cardale Jones, although Ohio State's more willing to run Cardale Jones than even Gus is willing to run Jeremy Johnson. I think the big change up coming into this game, just prediction-wise, is I think they're going to just say, to heck with it. We have to run him a little bit more. And we're willing to let him take a few hits because we need to provide a little bit more offensive help. Ohio State can do it because they got JT Barrett, and if worst case scenario, Braxton Miller.
Right.
You know, I mean, Gus Malzahn's worried about, you know, getting Jeremy hurt, but I think they need it. Now, you know, Auburn has faced two kind of different offenses. You know, I mean, they brought in Lamar Jackson from Louisville that just kind of scrambled around. They handled the first part of the game very well defensively. And in Jacksonville State, it was the same, one of those weird type offenses. I think they had 18 plays in that game of over 10 yards, which is incredible against a Will Muschamp defense. But they kept them off balance with that offense they were running. Now let's see what LSU is going to do, because they're not going to run that style of offense. They're going to put, you know, Fournette in the I formation. They're not, you know, they'll have some quarterback runs, but it's not a staple of their offense where they're going to be running the zone read or the starters, the stretch play 25 times. So, you know, maybe Auburn's defense can kind of find their sea legs, get an offense that they're familiar with, and help out their offense in this game. Because, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, LSU knows how, they've got some big play receivers, and at home, they're going to be much more willing to use Brandon Harris for the big play.
Yep, absolutely. And Auburn finding out that Joshua Holsey, a very experienced secondary player, out for the year with his second ACL injury. Tough news for Will Muschamp's defense. As we bounce over to the SEC East, Tennessee had that spotlight. Gary, we talked about it. They had the run game going early against Oklahoma, but the offense just shuts down after a 17-0 lead that they get in the second quarter. Oklahoma creeps back in, eventually wins in overtime. You know, what happened to the Vols here, and how do you think that they can bounce back?
It's a good question, but let me start out kind of giving a running start to this question and give Bob Stoops a lot of credit, okay? You know, I watched almost all of that game, and understanding that Trevor Knight had beaten Tennessee soundly, the backup quarterback at Oklahoma, just the year before, and threw for 300 yards and produced a running attack, maybe even a little bit better than what Baker Mayfield could bring. You know, everyone was thinking that it was just a matter of time before Trevor Knight came in that game. Bob was very patient. He stayed with Mayfield. Mayfield turned it around, and he looked gutsy. The defense caught fire, and I think it all goes back to a couple factors for Tennessee. They're still not; they still don't quite believe in themselves. You know, I mean, that's a Tennessee team 6 years ago would have put this game away and embarrassed their opponent. But this team started looking at the scoreboard, looking at the clock, trying to get out of there, trying to stretch the game, and all of a sudden things that were easy turned to a lot of negative plays in the second half. It was almost embarrassing. 51 yards in the second half, only 8 in the fourth quarter, but it was a lot of negative plays. And as I look at this team, that's one of the things in the spread offense that, you know, there's no doubt in this football game. Oklahoma manned up, took away the easy throws, started to gamble on defense, and all of a sudden, you know, Tennessee got a little shy, didn't want to risk a big play, and they had no offense, no tight ends, nowhere to go, and they kind of got caught in their own offensive system. Tennessee has to get used to winning again, and they're not quite there yet.
You mentioned something about the spread offense. I saw a statistic, and these differences don't sound that big, but when Tennessee was starting the game, they were moving about at 2.8 seconds per play, which dropped by 20% to about 2.1 or 2.2 seconds per play in terms of it, the Tennessee offensive pace once they had that lead. Is that being able to finish a game, is that something that you see throughout offensively, like
Chip,
at Tennessee?
That's the scary part about the spread offense, is it, you know, when it's working well, it's working at the tempo that they're used to and feel comfortable with. But when you get the lead and things start to go bad and you want to take a little bit of an air out of the game, it just seems that you have to be very disciplined or have one of those third down quarterbacks. That was the genius of Tebow and Cam Newton and Mariota, is that they could run the up-tempo fast break, but when they needed to slow it down, they could grind out the first downs on third down. Tebow and Cam did it with those power plays, and Mariota did it with his mind and quickness and being able to hit those passes. So
right.
the spread teams need to figure out a way to be able to hold the ball when the defense is starting to slide. And that's the problem with that is it's when it's working great, you're making first downs, the clock is stopping after first down, and your average goes down. But when you're losing yards on first down and you have to let the clock bleed a little bit, everything has the tendency to get out of whack, or your quarterback has to man up on third down and move the chains.
Also in SEC East action, Kentucky went into Columbia and snapped an SEC road losing streak that dates back to 2009. Gary, was it a bigger story that this Stoops-led Kentucky program was able to have yet another good mark for this coaching staff to sort of check off, another thing that we're doing to take a step forward? Or is the bigger story here South Carolina, a team that now, even without Connor Mitch, just really seems to have really seems to be struggling right now?
Well, you could probably make an argument either way, but I'm going to go for Kentucky on this one. You know, winning a road game, beating South Carolina in back-to-back years, doing it, you know, getting a lead and then being able to hang on, because in the second half they started to struggle too. You know, I was going through the stats. They had four consecutive times Kentucky went three and out. So that puts a pressure on your team that's not used to winning on the road. So I think for Mark Stoops and trying to build a program, I think they get the nod. This has been a much bigger day for Kentucky football. And, you know, South Carolina has a chance to right the ship if they can kind of catch Georgia early in the building of a football team. You know, think about it. If they go into Georgia when they play them and all of a sudden they start to have Grayson Lambert struggle, and they have to change quarterbacks, I mean, South Carolina can still save this thing in the following weeks. But, you know, I think Kentucky has to feel great.
Yeah.
It's been a building process. What Mark Stoops has been selling has been turning out. They'll continue to get more good football players. They've burst the bubble on winning one on the road. I just think this is great news for Kentucky football.
How do you see that South Carolina-Georgia game? How do you see that matchup looking right now? Is it Georgia against themselves kind of situation?
I don't think so. Not, you know, I know what you're saying, and it's a legitimate argument. But I think that, you know, South Carolina has to figure out a way to run the ball. When they run the ball significantly at all, just to help the quarterback, they're a legitimate contender. They recruited good football players. They'll stay in the football game. Georgia feels a lot of pressure playing against Steve Spurrier, playing him at home. They feel a lot of pressure. And I love Steve at the end of games. If he gets the ball back with an opportunity in a 4-minute drill, he's tough to stop with any quarterback, whether it's a starter. He's used to handling backups. It doesn't make him shy. You know, Perry Orth came in and did a decent job for him. So, you know, I see this as a game that South Carolina can still focus in. Two teams that Spurrier loves to play against, Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah.
It's his old roots that he likes to do. And, there's a lot of pride by him and that team, and an opportunity to erase a bad taste in your mouth. But your overall synopsis is right. If Georgia gives South Carolina a chance, they should not. They should be good enough. But I just, you know, that was a little bit hard to watch a Georgia quarterback go 0-for-7 at the start of a football game. And some of those, you know, there were two or three of those that, instead of being incompletions, could have been interceptions, and it could have been worse.
Yeah, there were some drop picks.
Yep.
That could have made that even tighter for sure. Once you are done, listeners, taking in the SEC on CBS, and maybe you've gotten in a dinner, you've recuperated, you're ready.
You're gonna do what I'm gonna do after my game.
Exactly. you do the Gary Danielson on Saturday, and you get ready for the SEC nightcap, which is going to be Ole Miss heading into Tuscaloosa. So many different storylines dating back to, of course, the big upset last year, plus everything that Ole Miss has going right now. Just, you know, two games against inferior competition, but, man, they have been racking up the points. They've got Laquon Treadwell, Gary. And I think that Treadwell can cause some problems against this Alabama defense. You can't run against them, but you might be able to pitch it around. Gary, I'm just so excited about this Ole Miss Alabama game. What stands out to you about this matchup?
Well, I think you're right. One thing about we talk about, and it's a constant theme of mine, is one thing about college football is that you can create pressure points on the field. It's the only major sport, I say this all the time, that, you know, a young player who could be playing professionally is forced to stay 3 years, so he becomes a mismatch in a game. And Treadwell could create that mismatch against Alabama that forces Alabama to tilt the safety out of the box, and then that opens up that run game that Ole Miss needs to keep it going. Now, so when people say, well, why don't you just double team a guy like Treadwell? It's easy to say, but hard to do in these spread offenses, because with the quarterback running the ball and the spreads, you have an extra man in the offense anyway. And if you devote an extra player to Treadwell and they're running it, now it becomes a real numbers advantage for the offense. So I don't see that happening. I think Alabama's going to man up. They're going to dare and force Ole Miss to say, listen, if you're good enough to hit 10 passes to Treadwell and throw three back shoulders and four slants and one post and one crossing route, then more power to you. We're going to try to shut down, I think, what is the weakness of the Ole Miss team, and that is their running back position.
They can't run.
They can't. They couldn't run last year. They don't have a featured back this year, and that puts more and more pressure on the quarterback, whether it was Bo last year or whether it's Kelly this year. That wears on you after a while. When every snap, instead of handing the ball off for 23 times and taking a mental rest, you're reading the option, you're reading the zone keep, you're getting hit on the option play, you're throwing a pass, you're throwing the bubble zone, that just wears on you. And when you're facing an elite Alabama defense where any mistake could be disaster, I think, and I've been saying this for years, listen, I love Hugh Freeze's offense. I love Gus Malzahn's offense, but you got to have a break for the quarterback. Auburn had it with Trey Mason. You know, Ole Miss has to give some help, because Bo Wallace, the last couple of years, by the end of the year, was just beaten down. He just did not have enough help.
That's a very, very good point. And we still don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, Laramie Tunsil, he has sat out the first two because of the ongoing NCAA issue.
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen this year? On the other side of the ball, Gary, we expect, based on previous Alabama quarterback competitions, that this game should, by the end of this game, I feel like we should know who the quarterback's going to be for Alabama. This Ole Miss defense, you know, so many playmakers, Tony Connor, Trey Elston, obviously Robert Kim DJ up front. It's a very versatile, it's a very dynamic defense. How do you think they're going to do trying to shut down Derrick Henry and that Alabama rushing attack?
Well, if they do, they're going to have a chance to upset Alabama. You know, I think Alabama has, you know, kind of recalibrated that they're going to start out saying, can you stop our off-tackle plays, our power plays, our counter OT plays? We'll give you a few bootlegs to kind of spread you out. In fact, in big games, it's something that Nick Saban kind of has a bit of a tips his hand. He likes to spread the defense out with a pass and then hammer them. And, you know, it's almost like a boxer likes to jab you early and then hammer you.
He's got a combination.
Later.
Yeah, he's got a favorite combination.
He likes to spread you out, kind of go against the grain, spread you out a little bit, and then hammer you. And, you know, that Ole Miss defense, as you talked about, has a lot of speed and a lot of playmakers. What they need to prove is that they can handle the point of attack. They love to come upfield. They love to take those gaps and cause negative plays. But when you're getting double teamed and you're pulling the guard and there's a fullback or an H-back following up, can you handle the point of attack? That's going to be the whole game. The area, I think Alabama will be fine at quarterback, whether it's Bateman or Coker. There are enough similarities. I know Bateman's a little more athletic, but there's enough similarities in running the offense. I think the big red flag for Alabama is, can they keep Henry healthy?
Yeah.
He's the guy that they have to keep healthy through the whole year. You know, Malik Zaire for Notre Dame, I was really worried about him. When he becomes your featured player, what happens when he goes down? I think the same can be said. This team needs as much as Fournette at LSU and maybe more, because LSU has a couple of young backs that might be able to patch that up. Alabama needs to make sure that Henry lasts the whole season. And that's the part of the game that Ole Miss has to stand up to and prove they can do it.
He is Gary Danielson, the SEC on CBS lead analyst. He will be in Baton Rouge for Auburn at LSU. Such a fun SEC West tilt. Gary, thank you for your time to preview this weekend, and best of luck in the booth. Enjoy it.
All right, thanks, Chip. I'll talk to you Tuesday.
This is just a reminder that if this is your first time with the SEC on CBS podcast, thanks for stopping by. You can get all of the SEC on CBS podcasts on iTunes using the TuneIn or Stitcher radio apps. Of course, you can subscribe, and then that you will be the first ones to get the SEC on CBS podcasts before they hit CBSSports.com. And stop by and leave a review, rate us. You can always get at me on Twitter at Chip_Patterson. Let me know what you think about the show, any questions, and feel free to chime in on Facebook as well. For Gary Danielson, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening to the SEC on CBS podcast.